Blog Talk Radio.
What is some of them there?
Give it to all freedom strong. In all Good evening, my beloved brothers and sisters in Advent Light. Welcome to Advent Light once more, Sunday evening. We are going to offer a word of prayer. Sister Powell will be your host. Let's pray. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, we want to thank you for the sweet, sweet blessings that you have restored upon us, the blessing that we can meet this evening to give you all the praise that due to you. Father, while we sing songs, read your word, we ask you to pour your Holy Spirit upon your children and help us that we can focus our mind clearly to listen to your word. Lord, we just want to thank you. We praise you and we bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, again, welcome to Advent Light. And we are going to open with a little scripture before I open the line for my sister to do the devotion. And our scripture reading will be from today. We were doing some study, and brothers and sisters, so interested that I think I would share a little with my brothers and sisters today on the line. And this was the chapter we're reading from, the end of time, and it is the loud cry of the third angel message. We know we have a work to perform, and God wants us to be educated. He wants us to study his word. He wants us to know that we all these that he have given unto us so that we can go out and share with others. And this is taken from Revelation, actually this chapter, Revelation 14. And we know what Revelation 14 tells us about the third angel message. So we are going to read just Revelation 14, 9 to 12 so far. It is our scripture for the opening for our scripture, and then I will start opening the line. Revelation 14 is telling us here 9. It said here 9. I start from 8. And there followed another angel saying, I'm going to start from 7. It said, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is falling, that great city, because she had made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them saying, with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. And 10 said, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of the indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. 10, 11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up from ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. And 12 said, here are the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And we stop there, and brothers and sisters, on this line, we want to be the 12. Yes, well said, here are the patience of the saints, and here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. So my prayer today for each and every one of us, that we will surrender everything to the Lord, that we will be the patient saint that keep the commandment of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. So because we are pleading and asking the Lord to help us, that we will be right like him, to be have his own character, so that we will be the patient saint, brothers and sisters. There is the message we have to carry out. And this message is supposed to be a message that we have to practice now. And if we do not know the message, we cannot carry it out. So we just asking the Lord to let our brothers and sisters, especially our leaders, that they can really present these messages to us. And, you know, we are in the classroom. We want to learn these things, you know, and so that we will be able to share these wonderful treasuries, these wonderful blessings that the Lord has given unto us. So I will start open the line, my brothers and sisters, for my brothers and sisters on this line, and I'm asking you please to really press number one that we can share, because we're going to read study a little of this loud cry, what it is all about, that we can, each one of us can able to share this message when we go out. 518-650, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Good afternoon, Sister Powell. Thank you for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby, and I'm calling from Albany in New York. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, not nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge here was given. God His own dwelt tender nourish, in His holy love they flourish, from all evil things He spares them, in His mighty arms He bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord His children sever. Unto them His grace He showeth, and their sorrows all He knoweth. Praise the Lord in joyful numbers, your protector never slumber. At the will of your defender, ever, ever foe must them surrender. So He giveth or He taketh, God His children never forsaketh. He's a loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. I will sing praise. Psalms 138, I will sing praise. I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple, praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. In the day when I cried, Thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet He respecteth unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth Thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the words, the works of Thine own hands. Children, Heavenly Father, we are Your children, O God. Safely in Your bosom we gather. Nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge all was given. Praise the Lord, joyful numbers, your protector never slumber. At the will of your defender, every foe, man must surrender. Oh, God, we come before you this evening, Lord. We are your children. You know or don't sit in on our uprising. You understand it of thought afar off. Lord, into your hand we give ourselves this evening, dear God. We are nothing in your eyes. We are just a filthy rag. We are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. But Lord, because you love us and you spare us from everything that is unlike you, dear God, and we are here today, Heavenly Father, your compassion fail not. They are new every morning, O God. Great is your faithfulness. You are so good to us. We just want to thank you for being so, so good. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, for everything, for your keeping care, for your tender mercy, O God. But Lord, you have kept us from all harms and danger. And we are here this evening on this prayer line, dear God, to tell you how much thankful we are. And we and our families, all the family on the prayer line, oh God, those who get on the prayer line along with our families, we put them before you. Children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, every family, dear God. Lord, we put all the mothers before you. Today is Mother's Day. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything you have done for us. From we was born until now, you kept us alive. It's not because we are good. And it's not because of something we have done. But because you kept us for a reason and for a purpose, God. So, Lord, help us to use this life that you have given to us so that we can live a life that you will bless us and make us into what you want us to be. Lord, anoint us from the crown of our head, O God, to the sole of our feet. Heavenly Father, create in us clean heart. And if there's anything in us that is unlike you, Jesus, I'm asking you, dear God, to rebuke, to remove, and to destroy. Take it away from us, dear God, and give us a strong, healthy, and a good life, good body, so that we can praise you, we can magnify you, we can exalt you, we can lift you up, dear God. We can give you thanks. Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. Heavenly Father, there is nothing you cannot do because you is God. And there is no other God but you. And no one could be God but you, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for being God. You stand forever. Whatsoever you do, it is well done. And whatsoever is going on, God, you know everything, Jesus. So, Lord, take full control this evening, dear God, and take this prayer line in charge and all of us who are on this prayer line, the silent listeners and those who are taking part, I put each and every one of us into your hand, dear God. You know our need. You know our situation. You know everything about us, God. So, Lord, just touch us, dear God, with your healing hand, with your cleansing hand, with your purging hand. Sanctify us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, O God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on all of us. Break us, O God. Melt us, dear Father. Mold us, dear God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, dear God. But Lord, please, help us, oh God, to get rid of sin. Because of the sin, oh God, you hate it.
No. Brothers and sisters on this line, it seemed like my sister dropped. Sister Barnaby, what's praying, Sister Barnaby? You look like you're draw. So we asking, brothers and sisters, we let us pray. Find a kind and loving Father again in heaven. We just want to give you a thank. We thank you for our sister who was here. She was praying and in the midst, Lord, maybe our phone may become a mute or she drop, Lord, we do not know what happened, but we are placing it in your care. Help, Lord Jesus, that she will join us back soon. And we just want to give you thanks and praise for a song and also reading the scripture and in the midst of our prayer. Lord, we know you are God and you are able to do all things. So we just want to thank you, Lord. Again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my dear, you are on.
I get cut off. I want to finish my prayer. I get cut off. The devil cut me off, but I need to finish my prayer.
It's not cut off this evening. Yes, my sister, you just dropped. Nothing, nobody cut you off. It just dropped. Come dark on
yes.
this day.
I need to finish my prayer.
Yeah, you're hoping.
So, Heavenly Father, I come to you again this evening, dear God. And I'm asking you to come to, dear God, and to work on behalf of your children and to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, dear God. Bless this prayer line. Take full control. Be with the moderator, oh God, and let everything be done according to your will. Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Help us to love you, to honor you, to adore you, to magnify you, to praise you, to lift you up and to give you thanks and to live every day. To praise your holy name, I pray and I give you thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, my dear Sister Barnaby. God is good. God is. Thank you for your song. Thank you for reading the scripture and also for prayer. You know the devil has his way, but you know what? God is in the midst. So I just want to thank God that, you know, you were able to join and to complete your prayer. God is good. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters on the line, I'm asking you to press number one, that the line you can be hoping, that I can hope in. And I just want to, Sister Leola, send her greeting to everyone on the line. She misses you, but she is continuing praying for her, or for you, and she's asking for prayer. You know, she's in a program, and we do know that she will be joining us soon, so she sends her greeting to her brother and sister on the line. Yes, brothers and sisters on the line, God, you know, want us to give him the praise tonight, as we were sharing this morning that our little prayer group, morning Advent Light prayer group, early morning prayer group, with some sisters, and you know, God is so good, he's so great to join us together that we can, you know, go to search the scripture for ourselves and also the prophecies that the Lord has given unto us. And this morning, you know, before, I think it was very early, I got up and I took this book, and this book is a book that we are studying, the end time prophecy. And we had reached in page 146, the chapter 12, the loud cry of the third angel message. And I started to go through this message. And, you know we have been studying this message for quite a while. And we have been studying these messages quite a while. So God have been placed these things. But, you know, we just praying that God will allow us, you know, to go back in these studies so that we will be prepared and get ready, you know, because we saw, we heard, we read all the things that is happening around us. And we want to be ready because God have a preparatory people here, the remnant people, and he wants us to be well equipped, you know, to have really followed his commandment, to be obedient in his commandment, his law, and that we can carry out his gospel message, you know. And he promised to pour the Holy Spirit upon us, the lot and the former rain. He promised us that, you know, if we are faithful to him, we will get the crown and also we will come out victorious. So I am asking my brothers and sisters to press one that you can share. But until I really see that you guys want to share, I will stop. So this reading is taken from actually Revelation 14, and we read around from Revelation 7 to 12. And the 12 verse said, here are the patient of the saints, here are those that keep the commandment of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. So God wants us to have the faith of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be obedient in his commandment. God wants us that we can go out and share, evangelize with our brothers and our sisters out there who really do not have the faith, or who, you know, don't know the Lord, for us to point them to the Lord. And I will just read a little about this chapter. I just said, you know, asking my brothers and sisters to really take some notes, you know, and write down some of these scripture passages that we can go back and share. And I'm asking my brothers and sisters on the line who join here. We have quite a few here on the line. I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press number one that they can share, a testimony, a prayer request, or a song, or reading their favorite scripture, give a praise report. This is your time, your opportunity you have that you can share. So I will just start reading the loud cry of the third angel message. Father, give us wisdom, we pray, as we are in a study group. We are asking you, Lord, to direct us and lead us and help us, Father, that whatsoever we gain, we will be able to share with others. It said here, the loud cry is the climax of the entire cluster of the events that begins with the successful full urging of the national Sunder law, and ends in the great close of probation. Yet it leads to still another climax of the fourth angel message. So we know we have been hearing a lot about the national Sunder law. We have not saying that the national Sunder law is formed yet. It is not, right? But we have been hearing. We are not sitting no time, but we heard a lot about it. We even heard that there are some clothes on the band shopping, that shop car store close on Sunday. We know that, you know, and then, you know, even some places you won't be able to buy anything, especially on Sunday. And we know that is leading us to the national Sunder law. And we know what that will be. So we have to really study the word for ourselves, search the scripture for ourselves, and ask the Lord to guide and to lead us, because we know all these things that is happening is going to bring us up to the law, when the law is passed, that we will not be able to buy and sell. And that is bringing us up to the mark of the beast crisis. So I don't know much about that, but, you know, we have to focus our mind upon the Lord, that he will guide and lead us. And what this loud cry message is telling us about, that we have to be well equipped, be ready as a remnant people, that we can carry this gospel message out to others. It said here, as soon as the law is passed. We are not saying the law is passed. We say, said here, as soon as that law is passed, professed and former Sabbath keeper are the first to knowingly make their decision for or against God's holy day, as one class received the seal and the other received the mark. So we know that it will be two class, right? One class of people will be receiving the seal, and who know what the seal is. The seal is the mark of God. The seal is for us to be obedient in God's commandment. Obedience is what the Lord said. we know that everyone, that all is headed to is for us to, you know, worship man, but not worship God. But God said we must worship God, but not worship man. And we know that the Sabbath is going to be a test. This Sabbath is going to be a test, the fourth commandment. And all is headed up against the fourth commandment, God's commandment, and the law that he has given unto us. So, my dear brothers and sisters, let us be faithful. And let us really ask the Lord to teach us with our brothers and sisters, our leaders, when they come up. We come to share the word. We are asking our brothers and sisters to take note, these books and also the Bible with the word, that we can read for ourselves and ask the Lord to teach us so that we will be well equipped to go and share the message. It said, the class who will receive the seal have been sealed into the truth. And you know what, the brothers and sisters on this land, is the truth. All we want to know is the truth. And the truth is God gave us 10 commandments to follow all 10 and not to follow 6 or 7 or 9 and don't follow the 10. So we are praying that God will lead us and help us, that we will be true to him and that we will able to be obedient to his will, to follow the law and for him to guide and to lead us into all truth. It says there, the class receiving the seal have been sealed into the truth as the judgment in heaven count them worthy of eternal life. And brothers and sisters on this line, we are working, we are praying for that eternal life with our Father. And we know what he is doing now in heaven, right? In heaven, he is there doing investigative judgment in heaven. And you know that book is open, brothers and sisters, because he's cleansing the sanctuary there. And we all have to pray that our names will not be blotted out. As he said, their sins are blotting out of the book of sin. That's what he is doing up there. And their names are retained forever in the book of life. So my prayer this evening for all of us here who join night upon night on Advent Light, that our name will retain in the book of life, right? And the Holy Spirit is poured upon them in order that they might be strengthened. And that means we remember when we read Revelation 18, I can write down that scripture that we can go back with, that angel come down with great power and lighten the world with his glory. That message, my dear brothers and sisters, have to go out. And when the Lord lighten us with his glory, when we have that Holy Spirit with us, the Lathering Spirit within us, we are able to go out and share the message, share like what we are doing here now. We are demonstrating the love of Christ by sharing the message. My dear sister, come on, came on, Sister Barnaby, she praised God by singing, praying for each and one of us on the line, asking the Lord to keep each and every request that she has presented in. And that is the power of the Lord, because I know she is not Sister Barnaby doing. She, the Holy Spirit impresses her to do that. So I just want to give thanks for that. Also for the Holy Spirit to share with all what our brothers and sisters have been doing in the community by sharing the word of God, presenting God's word to their brothers and sisters by even handing out books and all these tracts and presenting God to them and pointing their brothers and sisters to Christ. So God is so good. And this is the loud cry that the Lord wants us to have, not just to be waiting on something, but for us to be obedient to follow his will and do his will. So I just want to thank my brothers and sisters who join. And as we really come, I know our leader will bring these things clearer, but as we study and the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we will able to bring these little report when we read it and share with our brothers and sisters. 518-744, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from? Welcome on Advent Live.
Thank you, Sister Powell. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And just listening here and praising the Lord for another day. And praising the Lord that the prayer line is up and running tonight. Sister Powell, thank you for hosting. We do want to lift up Sister Leola. She is in the midst of her meetings. And I know Brother Udy, Sister Melissa would appreciate prayer for their store, which will be opening soon. And I'm just praising the Lord that he is so good. And I just had to read Psalm 121 here, Sister Powell. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I just wanted to read that for my brothers and sisters on the prayer line. What a great promise that is. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve you. You're going out and you're coming in. So God is always with us. He is always keeping us, even when we don't realize it. And he never sleeps, nor does he slumber as we do at times. We get tired. God never gets tired. And oh, I'm so thankful for that. What a beautiful Sabbath we had. A beautiful Mother's Day. I took my wife out. She bought some flowers, and she was looking for a tree for our yard. She did not find one, but she had a good time picking out some beautiful flowers to plant in the front of the house. And, oh, what a glorious day we are having. And, you know, it hasn't been real, real warm here, but it's been warm enough, and we are grateful to God. Everything is green. Our little pear tree is all blossomed out here in front of the house. Beautiful white. All the leaves are coming out on the trees, and just a beautiful time. A time. Spring is always a reminder to us of God's renewing mercy to each one of us. So it's kind of like us when we become Christians. He renews us, but you know, and he does that each day. So I am thankful for him. To him for that, and I just want to lift up a prayer for my brothers and sisters right now. Dear Lord, I just want to lift up all my brothers and sisters on the prayer line. Sister Powell, who is hosting her, Lord, I do lift her up with her family, Lord. Please keep her, watch over her, Lord. Put your angels around her as a hedge to keep the enemy at bay, Lord, so that she may go about her work and she may serve you unhindered, Lord. Father God, I lift up Sister Barnaby, such a beautiful song and prayer, Lord. She did not dismay. She did not shrink back when the enemy made her line drop, Lord. She called back and she finished that prayer, Lord. What a beautiful prayer, Lord. We thank you for her. Lord, we lift her up and her family. Lord, may you guard her, protect her, guide her, keep her, Lord, in her ministry, Lord. Father, each person on the prayer line tonight, I do lift them up. I think of Brother Eli, who's always praying for his mom, and Brother Jahari, and he has a whole list of folks that he prays for, Lord. We do lift him up, Lord. I think of Brother Yudi, Sister Melissa, who are trying to get their store up and running, Lord, so that it can be a light in their community to those around them, Lord. Please, Lord, watch over them, Lord. Give them what they need, Lord. Bless them, Lord. And their two young children, Caleb and Elizabeth, Lord. Father, Sister Leola, she is attending the meetings and praising you for that and pointing others to you, Lord. Please watch over her and Brother Ray and their family. Her son Jarvis, Lord. Lord, we especially lift him up to you and all of his family, Lord. Father, Sister Carla, She's in Tennessee, Lord. Please watch over her, guide her, bless her, Lord, and her family, Lord. Keep them. Elder Ken Richardson, Lord, we'll be lifting up with his family, Father. I think of Brother Serge, which we haven't heard from in a while. I pray that you be him and his family, Father God. Brother Bernard and his family, Lord, we do pray for them also, Lord. And Father, my family, I look up to you, Lord God. Each one of my children, especially Ashley, Lord, I do lift her up, Lord, and pray that you continue to pursue her, Lord, as she is not, got to the point of seeking you yet, Lord, but Lord, you are there, you are good, you are gracious, you are merciful and long-suffering and patient, Lord, please work upon her heart as only you can, O Father. Guide her into your truth, O Father. Father, bless each one of us, Lord, and Father, I know that I have forgotten names, Lord, but you know who they are, where they are, Brother Akeem and his mom and dad, Lord, and all of our brothers and sisters, Lord, Sister Brenda, Brother John, who always so faithfully call in and praise you, Lord. We just do praise your holy name, Lord, for guiding us, for keeping us, for giving us health and strength, O Lord. Father, keep us. Father, forgive our sins that we may stand before you justified and righteous, Lord, in your sight, O Lord. Not for anything that we have done, Lord, but because of Jesus who has died to save us. He gives us the power through your Holy Spirit to do what is right, to keep on that straight and narrow path. And Lord, please keep us there, Father. Do not let our feet slip off so that one day we can all meet in your kingdom, Lord, on that sea of glass, and we can praise you with one voice together. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell.
Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you, Brother Rick, for joining and also for sharing and your prayer and the scripture. God is so good, Brother Rick. I was going to say, Brother Rick, I'm going to ask you to pray. But, you know, they just speak to you before even Sister Bowen asked. So we just want to thank you, yeah, for lifting up each and every one of us, you know, to the Lord. There is no other time we need the Lord, Brother Rick. We need the Lord now because, you know what? It's only He, our Father, can give us that strength and that power that we can continue to move on. So I want to thank you and sure we will lift up your family in prayer. God bless you for sharing. 985-232, your line is open. Can you check your line? 985-232.
Good evening, sisters and brothers.
Amen.
Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I want to thank God for watching over us, waking us up this morning. I just want to thank him for this blessed day. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers. Thank God for us being in the land of the living. I would like to read a prayer. Every day is Mother's Day for us, so
it's
no surprise. We just thank God for being here. That's all that matters to me. Prayer, gracious God, I have come to you in prayer to ask you for grace and forgiveness, for plenteous is yours, redemption and deep is your love and mercy for all your faithfulness, faithful following the footsteps of your only begotten Son. Count me among them, Lord, your child and your servant, your devotees and receivers of your everlasting Amen.
Lord. Amen.
For the words that he give us to follow to get us to the straight road so that we can have everlasting life. I thank God for his word, because today I had some studying, and I was enjoying it today, so I was waiting for this line to continue on. I was sleeping, but I made sure I'll set my timer. That way it go off at 6:30, and I be ready, because my daughter's been working nights and it's been rough on me. My eyes barely still open. Look like I see you offshore, and I'm offshore. I'm saying I'm offshore the worst because I'm with your children, and they don't know how to go to bed. The 6-year-old and the 2-3-year-old, because they act like they're midnight hour. They're midnight hour kids. I see y'all go to school, and y'all don't have no training. And mom go to sleep on them, and they stay woke on the tablets. I said, no, y'all got to close your eyes here. You got to go to bed. They don't go to bed. So pray. I'm going to keep them in prayer, these poor kids. She be so tired because she drives like an hour and a half from New Orleans, because it takes a while to get out of traffic sometimes, a little longer. And poor thing, she works a long shift in pharmacy check, and she be tired, so she has to stay a handful. They busy by it, so she be tired. But I don't know. I don't understand the young folks today. But anyway, I be tired. I'm sick and tired. But God give me the strength. You know, I told you got to pray. And the Lord give me the strength to do more than her. I say, I have her more than you. You got to pray. They don't they act like they understand, but they just don't want to apply it. So I said, through our prayers, that's why y'all getting this for. So keep them in prayer. That's all we can do.
Amen.
So thank God for keeping them in prayer. And I ask the Lord to bless Advent Light Prayer Line, my family, and the projects the leaders have. They're looking forward to finishing projects and y'all ministry y'all have going on or trying to get to. Hopefully everything gets better so y'all can get to y'all ministry and every other project y'all have going on, the rest of y'all have going on. Pray for the sick, homeless, and all the COVID, all those that, whatever situation they're in, we ask God to strengthen them, heal them. You know, he's the doctor, so he's no, and a lawyer, so he know what to do. So we just want to ask God to forgive us of our sins and help us to get strong in his word. Amen. And pray one for another. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother John. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, this is Brother John from Hummel, Louisiana. I'd like to say hello to all my brothers and sisters. And I would like to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And I just want to thank God as I always do. And I was thinking about something just now when I was thinking about Mother's Day, and I thought about my mama gave birth to me, and I thought that I was only born once by my mama, but then I realized when I turned toward God and started praying and changed my life, turning my life around. I feel now like I was born twice. I feel like I've been reborn, you know, through the word of God and everything. So it's a wonderful thing, you know, to be reborn like that. And I just want to keep on growing too. You know, a child gets to a certain age, and we get older and things, and we stop growing from a child. But I want to, after I've been reborn through Jesus, I want to keep a growing the rest of my life, you know, with knowledge and everything of the word of God. And like I said, just sharing what I know. And I've been really helping out friends and family, and they've been coming to me a lot lately saying, wow, I did this. Guess what I did recently? And I got my driver's license, and I never had a driver's license before. And they've been coming to me saying, you know, like, wow, I did this lately and I did that. And I've been like, I'm proud of you. I'm real proud of you, you know. And one of my nephews told me, he said, man, you start, you know. Well, I'm just going to go on and talk. I had a phone. Somebody was calling in, but I'm going to hold on much longer. I had another call, so I'll pause talking. But I just want to say that I'm going to continue on giving the word and sharing the word. And I'll just let the call go on and stop ringing. But I just want to say God bless. Amen. Amen.
Okay, Brother John is still there?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
that's all right here.
You finished, Brother John?
Calling in, I let it ring till it stopped, so I can go on and continue. I mean, I was finished saying what I was saying, though. So God bless. Amen.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming and sharing. Reborn. Yes, Brother John, you're reborn. You know, when you are in Christ, you're a new creature, right? So you are reborn in Christ. So you are growing in Christ. You are sharing God's love, right? So that's a blessing. God is so good. He's so great. He's worthy to be praised. And also thank you, Sister Brenda, for sharing. Sure, we will be praying for those little children. You know, those are God's precious jewels. So we will pray for them. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to open this line and ask my sister if she wants to share. Right? 272-770. Your line is open. If you want to share a praise report, read a scripture. Your line is open.
Oh, yes. Hi, Sister Powell. Hi, Grandma Powell. How you doing, Sister Powell?
Are we doing good, dear my sister? Welcome on Advent Light. You want to share a scripture or a praise report? Mm-hmm. You know, the line is open. You can.
Hi, thank you so much. I wanted to sing a song and read a little verse from my three angels' messages. I thank and praise the Lord for each and every day. So I'm very grateful to be alive, and I'm grateful to have my family and my grandchildren visiting with me. I'm very grateful for that. Grateful that I was able to take them with me to church this Sabbath. And
Amen.
We had a beautiful time together. So I'm very grateful. Thinking about singing I Must Tell Jesus, song 485.
Amen.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He is a love that for his own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must to Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind and compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Makes all my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Oh, the world's nearest victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm so grateful to be on the prayer line with all my beautiful brothers and sisters. And I just wanted to read just a little verse of the three angels' messages I have, if I may.
Amen.
It says the final messages to the world. We are living at the most pivotal hour in history. Everyone's destiny is about to be decided for eternity. It's life or death for Earth's inhabitants. No one is exempt. It's the final showdown between light and darkness. You must choose sides. The conveyor belt of time is transporting humanity to its final moment. The question in this hour or decision is, where will you stand? Wait a minute. Where is God's warning? Even the United Nations, the European Commission, and the disaster managers worldwide have a global disaster alert and coordination system to prevent the collapse of society in times of crisis. God also has a global warning system. It's the three angels' messages. The good news is all you need to understand. It is a Bible and receptive heart. So all you will need is your Bible and a receptive heart. It's God's SOS shaped for every race, every class, and every economic group, exposing the judgment and destiny of humanity. So I just wanted to read that to you, that God also has a global warning system, which is the three angels' messages. So I'm grateful that we got a chance to read that this morning. And the book of Revelations, chapter 14, verses 1 through 20. So I just wanted to share that with everyone today. And God bless you all. And I appreciate being on the prayer line every morning. I appreciate being on the prayer line at night. And I just wanted to say a small prayer for my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Father God.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Tamika, for joining us, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Tamika from Pennsylvania, and she had been joining the Advent Light both prayer line and early sister prayer meeting in the morning. And we just want to let Sister Tamika know that Advent Light welcome her, and we know that we are no more stranger. And thank you for sharing and also reading the final message to the world, the three angel message. and for us to be obedient to these messages and to follow God's will as we start this morning, as we shared this a while ago about this message that God has been giving us. And this is a warning message for us. And we pray, you know, we are blessed because this is the loud cry message of the third angel message. And you know what? This is the time that we all have to be ready, prepare ourselves to be obedient to God, that we can follow this command. And we cannot only keep this message to ourselves. We have to share it with our brothers and sisters out there. And brothers and sisters, we need to study for ourselves, read this word of God and also the prophecy so that we will be able to know and acknowledge what is going on, because we have seen the crisis. We have seen so much things is happening around us, and it is happening around us very fast. And we know that our Father in heaven is in the most holy sanctuary now, and he is doing a great work. So we here have to follow his example to do the work that he wants us to do, to present the truth out there, the truth, and nothing beside the truth we have to present. And if we don't know the truth, my dear brothers and sisters, we, as sister was discussing this morning, if we doesn't know the truth, we cannot go out and share the truth. So I just want to thank God for the word of God, the Bible, and also for this prophecy, you know, because this is the time we get with the Holy Spirit that they are teaching, that these words are teaching us how we are supposed to perform and live our life. So, Sister Tamika, we just want to thank you for that song, I Must Tell Jesus, and only Jesus alone. He is a Father, our loving Father, that we can tell him everything. So thank you for your song and also for that little reading. God is so good. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters on this line, we are asking you if you want to share, sing a song and praise. I haven't seen the speaker yet. Supposed to be Brother Elder Hakeem James, supposed to be Purdue the presentation. And we soon go into prayer. And Brother Rick, if Brother Hakeem James is not here on the line, we are asking if you could even give us an encouraging word, Elder Rick. So we will hold on a little to see if Brother Hakeem James will join. But if he's not, I haven't heard anything. So we just want to really give God the praise that due to him. I am going to sing a little song, and I'm asking my brothers and sisters, if you want to share, you know, a little, because Sister Powell do not want she alone to be speaking. I would like my brothers and sisters. All right? I'm going to sing this little song. Just listen. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hands of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's almost here. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I'll never will despair. I know that he is leading to all the stormy blast, the day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me a long life narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me a long life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. No other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me a long life narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within our heart. Amen, amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, he lives within our heart. Right? We can have that blessed assurance that our Savior lives within our heart. We only have to be faithful to him. So we are going into prayer now, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to open the line for my dear sister actor to lead us in prayer. All right, I will pray. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, now we come to you this moment to give you thanks and praise for these blessings that you have restored upon your children this evening. We want to thank you for every brother and sister who join and who share with prayer, song, testimony, thanksgiving, praises by reading words to encourage us, Lord, to allow us to stir our heart to know that we have a work to perform, dear Lord. We want to give you thanks and praise for your blessing. Thank you for these wonderful promises in songs, Lord, and in the scripture, that we can search the scripture for the word that encourages us and to build our character, that we can follow Christ, Lord. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who you have sent here in this world. You send him here as an example for us to follow. We thank you for the work that he have done, Lord. And now we as his representative, we as his ambassador, we as his servant, we have a work to perform out there in the world. We thank you for this remnant group, the Advent, the Seventh-day Adventist remnant group, Lord. We are asking you to let us keep our eyes fix upon you. We are asking you, Lord, for the outpouring of the sweet Holy Spirit. We are asking you, Lord, to allow us, dear God, to be obedient to your will so that we can carry out your work, Lord. This work is there, and we just have a short time to carry out your work. So, Father, we are presenting ourselves to you. You have told us in your word, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this evening, every one of us here on this line, Lord, Father, my dear Elder Rick, my dear Sister Barnaby, my dear myself, Lord, Sister Tamika, Brothers of God, Sister Brenda, Brother John, dear Father, Lord, we present ourselves to you because only you, we cannot do anything without you. And this evening, Lord, we lift up these prayer requests to you. We lift up our dear Elder Rick, Lord. We ask you to cover him under your blood, both when he's at work, dear Father, when he is in the church where he's doing missionary work, dear Father, at his home. Father, we ask you for your protection, your love, your mercies upon him, dear Lord. You know he works, Lord, out there in the field, and sometimes his work is difficult. Lord, we ask you for your protection. We present his dear beloved wife to you, Lord. Strengthen her in this time. Lord, protect her too, both at work, dear Father, and at home. And as they prayed for their children, Lord, their grown children, we ask you, dear, to keep them, Lord, especially, dear Lord, Ashley, we present to you. And we know you have been working with her, and you have been hearing our prayer and our request, Lord. You also pray for his mother and his other brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus, and also the family members and the church family, dear Lord. And also the school, we lift up that school to you, Lord, and ask you to bless every brothers and sister and the leadership in that church. Now, dear Father, we also lift up our dear sister Barnaby. Continue to bless, continue to keep, continue to guide her and lead her, dear, as she come on this line to present. She present, Lord, the love that you have given unto her so that she can pray on our behalf by singing song and reading her scripture and sharing, Lord, her testimony, what God have done. Lord, we also thank you for our dear sister Tamiko, Lord, who joined this land, Lord, from Pennsylvania. We ask you, Lord, to pour your blessing upon her as she pray this week, having her grandchildren with her, and that's to bring joy to her heart. And she's sharing her testimony of the goodness, what you have done, sharing the three angel message, reading a quote, Lord, and how we are supposed to be faithful to you, Lord. So we want to give you the praise this moment. You are worthy, Father. You are worthy to be praised. We also lift up our dear brother John and sister Brenda, where brother John is giving you the praise that he's a new creature, Lord, in Christ, Lord. And what you have been doing by helping him to share the word, encouraging others, Lord, and learning, Father God, your truth. So we want to thank you. Thank you for the truth, Lord, because you said we have to, Lord, know the truth so that we can go out and share the gospel message. And dear Lord, as you have pointed out, Lord, your people, our people, myself and all the others on the line, and as we lift them up to you, dear Lord. We lift up Sister Carla, Brother Yudi, and the family member and the babies, them, Brother Bernard. Lord, we also lift up Sister Leola, who is out there in the field. doing a mighty work, Lord. And as she send her greetings to every one of us, Lord, we ask you to pour your spirit upon them and allow them to be obedient in everything they do. Fathers, we lift up tonight, dear Father, Brother O'Neill, as he prayed for his children, Lord, and also his siblings. We and the work that they have been doing in New York City, we lift them up to you, dear Father. We also lift up Sister Stephanie as she prayed, Lord, for her daughter, Kaja and KJ, Lord, and as she is preparing for graduation and to enter into college, Lord, we ask you to pour out your blessings upon them. We also lift up Sister Lynn, Lord, to you. She's not feeling well, but you are the great physician. You are the healer, sympathizing Jesus. We ask you to cover her, Lord, under your blood. Sister Payne, Lord, we ask you, Father, for your protection towards her. We also, Father, lift up to you, Brother Akeem James, Sister James, and little Brother James. We lift them up to you. And as Brother Akeem will present the message tonight, Lord, we ask you to pour your spirit upon him. And there are so many, Brother Eli, as he prayed, Lord, on behalf of his mother and Brother Eli, praying for Jahari and Javel and Ishma and the house manager of Jahari. Lord, you hear this cry and you know his plea. We ask you to pour out your blessing. And those who are on the internet, we lift them up to you. Lord, keep them, guide them, and protect them, dear Father. Sister Katie, we pray for Sister Katie and the grandchildren and Dominique, Lord, her son. Lord, continue to bless them. You know their needs, Lord, Brother Richardson, Elder Richardson, Sister Boyd, and Brother Wilson, Tennessee, Lord, the Rhode Island group, their sister, Brother Chuck, and the team, Brother Rod Ricketts, Lord, we lift them up to you. Father, there are so much people that we can lift, you know, our heart. So we ask you to bless them, keep them, guide them, protect them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, now is the time we are going to open the line for our speaker. We are asking our brothers and sisters if they could get their Bible and also a notepad and their pen or pencils, and they can take notes, which is very important, my dear brothers and sisters. So if anyone else on the line would like to share, they can press number one before I open the line for the speaker so far, because we don't want to leave out anyone. All right? So I'm going to open the slide. 301, the next voice you will hear is the speaker. 301-640,
all right.
The line is open.
All right, thank you so much. Well, praise the Lord that we can be back here once again, and now we begin our entrance into the last portions of Daniel chapter 11. And everything from Daniel chapter 11 verses 1 through 39, we are now going to start seeing it being repeated again in verses 40 to 45. And so this is why it is crucial for us to look. It was crucial for us to look at verses 1 through 39 because many usually focus on verses 40 through 45. But as you look at the whole historical aspect of the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the divisions of that empire, the rising of pagan Rome and then of papal Rome and the persecutions that all of those kingdoms, the persecuting power that it was to God's people, then it begins to make sign. It begins to make sense. The end time scenario, which we're about to start covering, begins to make sense. And so this is why it was vital for us to go through that, because many have been arriving at different understandings of who the King of the North and the King of the South are. But once you go back to the beginning of Daniel chapter 11, you begin to understand who the key players are as history unfolds, and then who the end-time key players are. And what we have seen in context is the end-time key player, one of them at least, the King of the North, we have seen that it was the papal system. And we've been talking about the system, its rise, its establishment, and its persecution against God's people. So now when we get to verse 40, we begin to understand some of the things that I was mentioning before. Even in light of the times that we're living in, we touched on issues of justice in society, issues of what's been happening as it concerns people standing against injustices within society. And not only that, we've seen within the past, last year, we saw people burning Bibles. There was an attack on religion, all of these things. But you remember one of the things that I said, all of these things were happening as a legitimate rebellion against oppressive Christianity. And friends, the reason that I can say that is because of past history. And so we're going to see that past history today. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40 is what we're going to enter into today. But before we enter into that, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that you will illuminate our minds as we study your holy word and bring us to a deeper understanding of these truths, that we may be able to make sense of the times that we're living in and what we ought to do, Lord, as we seek to be spiritual sons and daughters of Issachar, who knew the times and what Israel ought to do in light of the times. Guide us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, the first part, part A, we're going to split it up into part A and part B. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40 says, and at the time of the end. Now, many of us who are students of Bible prophecy ought to know what year that's in reference to, the time of the end. But if we don't, no worries. We're going to continue to study and we'll find out what time period that was. It says, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, in reference to the king of the north. Now, we already have been discovering that the king of the north here is none other than the papal system. That's who we've been studying in context. So the king of the north, contextually, will be pushed against by the king of the south. So we understand who the king of the north is. Now it's just to understand who is the king of the south. Daniel 11 and verse 40. Now, in order to understand this, this is why it was crucial for us to understand verses 1 to 39. Because in 1 to 39, we understood that the king of the south was symbolized under the empire Egypt. It was symbolized at first under the Ptolemaic dynasty, the Ptolemaic Empire, one of the divisions of the kingdom of Alexander the Great. The Ptolemaic dynasty was referenced as the king of the south, which is Egypt. And then the king of the north was referenced as the Seleucid Empire. And so now as we deal with Egypt, we're going to find out who is this Egypt that will be manifested, this king of the south that will be manifested at the end of time. This is why, not by coincidence, we must link Daniel and Revelation. Daniel and Revelation. The reason being that in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 3, it speaks of the king of the south. It says there, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. The two witnesses, according to the word of God, Jesus speaking of the scriptures, he said, these are they that testify of me. Speaking of the word of God at that time. Now, as we look back, we see this aspect of the fullness of the two witnesses in the Old and the New Testaments. And what do they testify of? Both testify. One testifies of a Messiah that was coming, and the other testifies of a Messiah that has come. The Old Testament testifies of a Messiah that is coming. The New Testament testifies of a Messiah that has come. And so as we look at this, we're realizing indeed the word of God is symbolized in Revelation 11 as the two witnesses. And what would these two witnesses do? It says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. By the way, clothed in sackcloth. That's mentioned in a number of places in the book of Revelation under different numbers. In Revelation 13:5, it's mentioned as 42 months. But how many days are in 42 months? 1,260. Remember, we're counting this by the system of the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar, John was a Jew, Daniel was a Jew, and these two mention this time period under three different numbers. One is 1,203 score days, or 1,260 days. Another way is, as we're reading here, another way is, according to Revelation 13:5, it is mentioned as 42 months. But how many days are in 42 months? 1,260, speaking of the same time period. But how many years does 1,260 days, or 42 months, make up? 3.5 years. The Jews had another way of saying this. They call it a time that's 1 year in the Jewish system, times that's 2 years, which is 720 days, and half a time, which is 180 days. So time, 360, times 720, half a time, 180. When you add all of them up, guess how much you get? 1,260 days. 3.5 years in Bible prophecy. Time times and half a time, it's the same thing, which is 3.5 years. 42 months, 1,260 days is all a reference to the same thing, just said in different ways. And so, when we go into Bible prophecy, I'll give you two references. We mentioned it before, a while back, but we'll mention it again, which is that according to the book of Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6 and Numbers 14:34, it tells us in the Bible figuratively, a day represents a year in Bible prophecy. So we're talking about 1,260 days of years. In other words, 1,260 years, the two witnesses would prophesy. And that time span went from 538, we've covered this time period before, all the way to 1798. We've covered this before in Daniel chapter 11. Now we're just seeing it again in the book of Revelation chapter 11. And so we're seeing that, whoa, Daniel and Revelation are seriously connected. Now look at what it says as we continue in Daniel 11. What happens at the end of the 1,260-year period? So that takes us from 538, when papal supremacy really began. Not the beginning of the papacy, but the beginning of papal supremacy. As that took place and the papacy was established at that time, from that time onward, 1,260 years later, brings us to 1798, all right? So what happens after the two witnesses prophesy from 538 to 1798? How was that done? Of course, through the Reformation, because it was men who lifted up the word of God and declared it. They lifted up the two witnesses, and men were able to hear the word of God, the two witnesses speak. And this was done during the time of papal supremacy. This is why there was so much persecution against the Reformation, because the Reformation was the physical manifestation of the two witnesses. The reformers and those who followed them proclaiming the word of God, these were the physical manifestation of the two witnesses. So as we look at this now, it continues in verse 7 of Revelation 11. It says, and when they, the two witnesses, shall have finished their testimony, the beast that is sent out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall come, overcome them and kill them. That means if the two witnesses prophesy for 1,260 years, which spans from 538 AD to 1798 AD, that means they will finish their testimony in 1798 AD. Why? There was an interruption. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit makes war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. That means, friends, a power is going to arise, was going to arise in 1798 that would stand against the testimony of the two witnesses. And what do you think the name of this power is? The Bible tells us in verse 8 of Revelation 11, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city which spiritually is called, here it is, Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now notice that. What is Egypt according to the book of Daniel? Daniel 11 typifies Egypt as the king of the south. So what we're seeing here is there's going to be a resurrection of Egypt and Sodom. Sodom, when we think of that power, we think of licentiousness, sexual immorality. But when we think of Egypt, we're thinking of the king of the south, but not just the king of the south. Friends, there is something about the word Egypt. This is the reason that God used it to typify the territory of the south. It was physically there, but at the end of time, it's spiritually, the term is spiritually being used because it symbolizes a certain mindset. These are not my words. Hear the spirit of prophecy on this point. This is found in Great Controversy, 269, paragraph 2. Who is Egypt? Who is this power that is typified as Sodom and Egypt, the territory of the south, in Revelation 11? Three words. This is atheism. This is written in Great Controversy. It's the first statement. It's the first statement. One of the first statements that I'm reading here. Speaking of Revelation chapter 11, speaking of Sodom, which symbolizes sexual immorality or licentiousness, and Egypt, what does that represent? That aspect represents atheism, because the Pharaoh said, who is the God that I should serve him? The Pharaoh of Egypt. So there was an idea that, okay, I know not the Lord, neither will I serve him, nor let his people go. That's what Pharaoh said. So it's the idea of not believing in the one true God, an atheistic mindset. Hence, she says of Egypt, this power represented as Egypt and Sodom, this that would rise up against the two witnesses, this is atheism. And the nation represented by Egypt would give voice to a similar denial of the claims of the living God and would manifest a like spirit of unbelief and defiance. The great city is also compared spiritually to Sodom. Why? The corruption of Sodom in breaking the law of God was especially manifested in licentiousness. And this sin was also to be a preeminent characteristic of their nation that should fulfill the specifications of the scripture. So this nation, whatever this nation is, symbolized as the beast that came out of the bottomless pit against the two witnesses, it would be typified as Egypt and Sodom because of its atheistic mindset and its licentiousness. So I wonder who this nation is. Continuing on 269, pages 2 to 4, it says, according to the words of the prophet then, a little before the year 1798, the time of the end, some power of satanic origin and character would rise to make war upon the Bible. That means, who's the two witnesses? Right here we're seeing it's the Bible, because it says in Revelation chapter 11, it calls those upon whom war is made by Egypt, it calls them the two witnesses. But here we see in the spirit of prophecy, what are the two witnesses referred to as? The Word of God, the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. So this is according to inspiration, and it's according to Scripture itself, the two witnesses. Symbolize not two people that are going to rise up sometime in the future, at the very end, after the rapture. Friends, it symbolizes the Word of God. The two witnesses are the Old and the New Testament Bible. And so some power would rise up with an atheistic / licentious mindset against the Word of God. And in the land where the testimony of God's two witnesses should thus be silenced, there would be manifest the atheism of the Pharaoh and the licentiousness of Sodom. This prophecy has received a most exact and striking fulfillment in the history of France. So who was the power that rose up? Friends, it was in the form, this power came in the form, this beast out of the bottomless pit came in the form of the French Revolution. Friends, one of the most ardent supporters of the papal system, rendering unto it its civil power, rose up one day, finally being tired of papal oppression. It rose up, turned on the papacy. Hence, the papacy lost its civil power in 1798. And so, inspiration says, in the same chapter, the Bible and the French Revolution, that this was the legitimate result of the papal oppression that took place for 1,260 years. Friends, it was the natural result of false Christianity. This is what false Christianity leads to. This is why when you see the burning of Bibles, don't focus on that. Know that when you see the burning of Bibles, don't just ask, don't just say to yourself, these people are foolish. These people are dumb. These people are apostate Marxists. Ask the question, why? Why was it done? Inspiration tells us we must reason from cause to effect. We must go back and look at the source of the problem. What many view as the burning of Bibles as the source of the problem is only the result. It is the legitimate result of a problem that is deeper. And friends, we have it in type, in past history. This is why it's so vital for us to know our history. Because what we're seeing here is, what was the reason that men were burning Bibles in the French Revolution? Friends, it was because of prior papal oppression, false Christianity that lasted for 1,260 years. By the time it reached 1798, friends, the weight broke the camel's back. And there was a rebellion against false Christianity. Friends, this is why this is happening again today. You see the burning of Bibles? Ask yourself why. And why is it? It is because of false Christianity. Babylon, which is fallen, has misrepresented the Son of God. And this is why Seventh-day Adventists must be careful that they do not follow this kind of evangelical Christianity, which is happening very much so in light of the political environment in which we are living. Many are siding with Babylon, with evangelical churches in their political views, in their views of the Bible, giving up an understanding of the prophecies that we have been given to side with Babylon. And friends, the result is they cannot reason from cause to effect. They see these things and they immediately resort to the ideology of their party, rather than resorting to the more sure word of prophecy. Hence, we have a major falling. We have the beginning of what I believe will result in a major falling away very soon. A major falling away. Those who have not had a true establishment in the word of God, they will follow where their heart is leading them. And friends, we know what the Bible says about the heart. So friends, as you see these things today, don't just say, whoa, these people, why are they doing this? This is so crazy. They're so foolish. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Reason from cause to effect, then why this is being done. Because then it will cause you to have sympathy with the very people that are so rebellious and burning the Bible. Friends, Christ loves these people as well. In such a religious, in such a political toxic environment, the idea is creeping into the movement that we should side with this one party and hate the other. But I tell you the truth. Not only are both parties flawed, but friends, I tell you the truth. When one truly understands the word of God and the very heart of Jesus, you would begin to sympathize, not compromise. But you begin to sympathize with both groups. But make sure that you know how to distinguish and how to step away and be able to stand on the platform of truth itself. So we're finding out that who is the king of the South here that pushes against the papal system? It is none other than the French Revolution. None other than France, as the French Revolution took place. In 1798, we know what happened that very year. The papacy lost its civil power, and the Pope of Rome was taken captive, placed in captivity, and he died in 1799, a year later. So as this happens, we're seeing, okay, wow. So the spirit of prophecy, even though it doesn't mention the king of the south and the king of the north, the principles are there. The major players that are laid out during this time period, friends, it's the same that we're talking about in the Bible. Even though Ellen White doesn't use the terms, we know based on her writings, okay, these are the main players at the end. Okay, that means that as we're studying the Word of God and the spirit of prophecy only amplifies the scriptures, then that means these are the powers that we're talking about. We're not talking about Islam. We're not talking about Hinduism. We're not talking about China. We're talking here about the major players, secularism / atheism, licentiousness, and the other power, which is the papal system, both having some similar practices, but also being very different. Hence, they're going against each other, right? So as we're looking at this now, we're seeing, whoa, okay, I see who the king of the south is. It is atheism / secularism. And then the king of the north is the papal system in context of what we've been studying for the past few verses in Daniel 11. So in light of this now, the Bible then tells us, and this is where we'll go into it, but then we'll pick up the next time. It says, continuing, probably let's establish this. So we're finding out the time of the end is 1798. And then the end, it would be the time of the end of what? It would be the time of the end or interruption of papal supremacy, okay? The end, and this is also giving us an understanding that we're now entering into a period of the end of time or the end of the world is approaching, right? So you have the time of the end, 1798. Then when we get to 1844, you really have the end of time, and it continues. So since 1798, we've been living in the time of the end, and then later on also in the end of time, 1844 onward. So the end of what? The time of the end of what? Papal supremacy, because it was interrupted. One day this power will be resurrected, and it will be resurrected by none other than this boasted nation of freedom will one day support the papal system in rendering unto it its civil power, as France once did. Friends, the very entities, do you know, this will be repeated again, the very entities that gave their civil power over to the papal system during the Dark Ages, we're seeing its most ardent supporter turn on it at the very end, right? At 1798, I should say. Now, do you know that this is to happen again to the papacy? Check this out, all right? Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, and we'll start closing up here. Revelation, and let's go to chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, and this is what it says here. This is very interesting. So it says, speaking of the papal system along with the kings of the earth at the end of time, who render their power, their civil power, to the papacy, just like France once did. Look at what happens. The same thing that happened with France at the end of the 1,260 years is going to happen at the very end of the world. So the papal system, by the time we're reading Revelation 17, has gathered up all of the civil powers of the world. It has the civil power restored. And it seeks to war with these civil rulers of the world against Jesus Christ. Now, do you know what happens? The same thing that happened in 1798, for we read, these, Revelation 17:14, these shall make war with the Lamb, that's Jesus, and the Lamb, Jesus, shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. May we stand among that group. But then notice what it says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. That's where we get the understanding of what waters represent in Scripture. But here's what it says then in verse 16. And the 10 horns, meaning which are 10 kings, according to Revelation 17, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall what? What will they ultimately do? They will ultimately hate the whore. Who's that? The papacy. So in other words, the 10 horns, which are symbols of 10 kings, how do we know this? Go back with me to verse, let's check it out here. So there's two places where we can look for this. Actually, check out verse 12, Revelation 17 and verse 12. It says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for a short time, 1 hour, with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power. That's their civil power. That's what kings represent, temporal or civil power. They will render their power and strength unto the beast. That's speaking of the papal system, or the whore of Revelation 17. But notice what happens as we come to the end of Revelation 17. These same kings that gave the civil power to the whore, they turn on her. It says verse 16, and the 10 kings which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God had put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest, great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. All right? Great controversy, speaking of this whore, this woman, says in page 382 and 383, it says, Babylon is further declared to be that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Revelation 14, verses 4 through 6, and verse 18. The power that for so many centuries maintained despotic sway over the monarchs of Christendom is Rome. Babylon is said to be the mother of harlots. By her daughters must be symbolized the churches that cling to her doctrines and traditions, and follow her example of sacrificing the truth and the approval of God in order to form an unlawful alliance with the world. And we're seeing who the world is. It's the civil power. So this is why, as we look at this, it's so vital to understand end time prophecy, because we're seeing what happened in the French Revolution, where the civil power that was once given to the papacy turned on the papacy in 1798. It will happen again, but this time on a worldwide level. As the papacy gathers the civil rulers of the world and they render their power to the system, it will come to a point where they realize that they've been deceived. They've been led astray. And what will happen is, just like France turned on the papal system, they will turn on the whore, the same system, at the very end. But this will be now on a worldwide level. We've seen now the King of the South, according to Spirit of Prophecy and the Word of God itself, he calls atheism manifested in the French Revolution, or in the nation of France, at this time led by Napoleon and his General Berthier, went in and took the Pope captive, and he died in captivity. Hence, the King of the North then would be the papacy, because the only power that the French Revolution was against was against the papal system. But here's what happened. In that French Revolution, they put out, you probably heard the phrase or the sentence before, they threw the baby out with the bathwater. The idea is you wouldn't do that, right? You'll throw out the bathwater, but you won't throw out a baby. In the same way, friends, when the French Revolution happened, the papal system had given such a bad name, oppressive Christianity, and false Christianity had given such a bad name to Christianity and the Bible, that these atheists now arising against the papacy wanted to have nothing to do with religion at all. So not only did they attack the papal system, but they attacked anyone who had the scriptures. They tried to throw out that as well altogether, not realizing the problem wasn't the scriptures. The problem was those who claimed to represent its teachings. In the same way, friends, this is happening today. Christianity today is beginning to be recognized for its oppressive nature when it comes not only to religious but civil issues. And as this is happening, our pioneers recognize these things even in their day. But as it is being repeated now in our generation, may we recognize this. And when we see a pushback against this, may we recognize it as that. May we not see a pushback against oppressive Christianity as some isolated event that comes out of a vacuum, friends. No. Friends, this comes out as a result of prior things that took place. So I pray that this made sense. This is Daniel 11:40, part A. Next week, we'll cover the second part of Daniel 11:40, part B, which states, and the king of the north shall come against him. So the king of the south attacked first, 1798. But then the king of the north comes back against the king of the south like a whirlwind, and chariots with horsemen, and with ships, many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. That's the latter part of Daniel 11:40, and we're going to cover that next week. And so stay tuned as we now see how the papacy pushes back against atheism / secularism. But with that, I pray that this makes sense. And friends, now we know where we are. The time of the end gave us that huge clue. And now we know we're in 1798. But now we're about to move on next week from that point. But Daniel 11:40 gives us a huge marker in making that statement, the time of the end. So we know that from Daniel 11:40 onward, we're dealing with history from 1798 forward to the end of time. All right? So with that, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father, I pray that, Lord, as your remnant, that, Lord, you may give us the wisdom and the understanding to discern the times and to be balanced, Lord, not to be fanatics, not to be extremists, but, Lord, to be wise. It is true. Inspiration tells us that at the end of time, as the third angel's message goes forth, we will be viewed as alarmists, as extremists. But, Lord, that will be because of the truth, not because of lies, which many have believed, but it will be because of the truth, and it will be clearly manifested before the world that we were right. But Father, I pray that you help us to be balanced in this hour. Let us not go to the right or to the left, but let us stay focused. And Lord, let us not embrace the things of Babylon, but let us stand true to the word of God as the peculiar movement that you have called us to be. Help us to reason from cause to effect and to stand upon the firm platform of truth. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Hakeem, for this presentation and timely message, brothers and sisters. And I do hope that my brothers and sisters take some note. We have some scripture passage and also some date, and also go back in the great controversy and study this message, brothers, and also allow us to be faithful and true, because brothers and sisters, the time is coming that we have to present the truth, and only the truth going to allow us to be free. So we have a work to do. So I just want to thank Brother Hakeem James. And I don't know if anyone on the line would have any question that you don't quite sure, or any query, if you want to ask Pastor Hakeem, you can press number one and I will open the line. And we just want to thank Brother Hakeem, right, for that presentation. And, you know, the same thing as he said, the same thing that happened in those years, it is going to come back on us. So what we have to do is to really hold tight upon the arms of Christ and to follow his will and to be obedient to his command. And only that will he be able to help us to stand firm. So, brothers and sisters, there is no one want any questions. So we just want to thank our brothers and sisters who join us today. And I'm encouraging us to go back and search the scripture for ourselves, the scripture, Daniel, Revelation 17, and also Daniel 11. And we just read verse to verse, brothers and sisters, and ask the Lord to help us with wisdom that we can understand more clearly. Because we know all of us is not going to understand, but the Lord will help us to understand. So I just want to thank Brother Akeen, and I will. Well, okay. Yes, brothers and sisters, let's pray. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We just want to thank you this moment for this wonderful message. Help us, dear Lord, that we will be strong. Give us the strength we need in this time, and help us to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mountains of goodness and love.